morning on this Good Friday, I would like to look at the words of our Lord Jesus Christ while he was hanging on the cross. The seven words, the seven prayers that he uttered while he was on the cross. These seven prayers are found in the Gospel of Matthew, in the four Gospels, in fact. And I would like to just briefly share a short message about these prayers this morning. I would not go much in detail, but I pray that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, his prayers on the cross, will encourage us to continue praying ourselves and to remember that he is praying for us. Now, the last time Jesus Christ, before he went to the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And while he was on the cross, he continued praying. Even in his time of agony and suffering, he never stopped praying to the Father. He never stopped looking to the Father. And we would see here in his seven words, his seven prayers on the cross, that he was not only thinking of himself, but he was thinking of others. And so may this encourage us, you know, times of anguish and sorrow, to remember that we can still pray for others, even as the Lord Jesus Christ did not focus on himself, but he focused on others. So let us look at these seven words of our Lord, these seven prayers that he uttered while he was on the cross in agony. The first prayer is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. This is a prayer of forgiveness. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, being crucified, being beaten and hanging there. And while he was hanging there, he was not thinking of himself, but he was thinking of others. He was thinking of the very ones who were crucifying him. And he prayed this beautiful prayer to his Father. And he said, "Father, forgive them." And the "them" here are his enemies, those who were persecuting him, those who were in ignorance, crucifying the Son of God. But yet he did not look to take revenge. He said at one point that he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called the angels to destroy his enemies. But yet he offered up forgiveness. What a beautiful word. What a beautiful Savior. That he was not thinking of himself, but he was thinking of others. And he said, "Father, forgive them." Why? "For they do not know what they are doing." They were crucifying the Lord in ignorance. Yes, they knew that they were beating him. Yes, they knew that they were causing pain to him. Yes, they knew that they wanted to get rid of him. But Jesus said that they do not know what they were doing, that they were crucifying the Son of the living God. And so he prayed that his Father will forgive them. Why? Because Jesus Christ did not come to forgive good people. He did not come to forgive the righteous, but he came to forgive sinners. He came to forgive people like you and me, those of us who have forsaken him. For the Bible says that we were born sinners, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we are all responsible for the Son of God's crucifixion. He went to the cross not because he committed any sins, but because of our sins. He took our sins upon him. And yet he asked the Father, he prayed to the Father to forgive us. And forgiveness means that God does not remember our sins, that he casts our sins away, that he covers our sins so that we are not held guilty. Even though we are guilty, he sets us free. He considers us innocent when he forgives us. And thank God that the one who was crucified prayed for forgiveness for sinners like you and me. The second prayer is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 43. Here Jesus Christ is on the cross, and there are two thieves that are crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. And the two thieves are railing at Jesus Christ early. But then afterwards, one of the thieves turned to Jesus Christ and asked him to remember him. And then Jesus Christ turned to this male factor, this thief who was guilty of murder. He was getting what he deserved. And he turned to Jesus. And then Jesus turned to him and says, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Jesus Christ did not ask him to do anything. Jesus Christ did not ask him to confess his sins. Jesus Christ did not ask him to do any works, because he could not. He was a dying man asking a dying Savior to remember him when he comes in his kingdom. But Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today," not tomorrow, "today you shall be with me in paradise." And that is the prayer of salvation. Jesus Christ promised this man that today, now, he will be with him in paradise. He will be saved right now. And notice that Jesus Christ did not say, "Today you shall be saved." But he says, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." And that is what salvation is. That is why God created us, to be with him. To be with him to enjoy his presence. To be with him to enjoy his blessings. And today, if you are a child of God, Jesus Christ is with you. God is with you. And that is a promise that he has given to us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Paradise, that place of God's presence, that place where we experience the very, very presence of God. The third prayer is found in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. And here Jesus Christ is on the cross. And let me just read these verses here. John 19, verses 26, 27. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," that is John, who wrote the Gospel of John, "standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to his disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." And this is a prayer of affection. Here we see Jesus Christ on the cross. He expresses his affection to his mother. Now, today, to call a woman, seems to be a derogative term. But in the days of Jesus Christ, this is a term of endearment. And so Jesus Christ here is showing respect to his mother. He knows that he's going back to his father, but he wants to make sure that his mother is taken care of. And he says, "Woman, behold your son." And then he turns to John, one of his disciples, and he said, "Behold your mother." And so Jesus Christ wanted to make sure that his mother will be taken care of when he returns to his father. And the Bible says that from that day, the disciple took her in his own household. Oh, what lovely expression of affection here by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for his earthly mother. This great affection. Now, Jesus Christ did not consider his mother to be one who can intercede for him. He considered her to be a woman who needs his love, a woman who need his grace. And so we do not worship her, we do not pray to her, but like Jesus Christ, we show affection to her, just like we show affection to our earthly mothers and even our spiritual mothers. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. The next prayer is found in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here Jesus Christ is echoing the voice of the psalmist in Psalm 22, who cried the same words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so here is the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, and he looked to his Father, and he says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now there were those who were around the cross when they heard Jesus Christ uttered these words. They thought he was calling for Elijah. But he was not calling for Elijah. He was calling to his Father. And in this prayer, Jesus Christ is in great anguish. He's in deep suffering here, deep anguish. Because the Son of God never, ever was separated from the Father. All through eternity, he was in the Father's bosom. He never knew what it meant to be separated from his Father. But now that he took upon the sins of his people, the Father turned his back. The Father turned his back against his Son, his beloved Son. In fact, in the previous verses, in verse 40, in chapter 27 and Matthew 27 and verse 45, it says, from the sixth hour, darkness fell all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, the darkness that prevailed for 3 hours is symbolic of the separation of the Father from the Son. The Father turned his back. He rejected his Son for 3 hours because his Son took our sins upon him. And so Jesus cried out in anguish, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What does it mean to us? Well, it means that the Son of God, God only begotten Son, was forsaken so that you and I would not be forsaken. He was rejected so that you and I, who deserve to be rejected, would not be rejected when we put our trust in him. Oh, what great love. In John 3:16 we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was forsaken so that you and I would not be forsaken. What great agony he went through for us. Oh, what great suffering he experienced for sinners. The next prayer, the next word is found in John chapter 19 and verse 28. John chapter 19 and verse 28, Jesus says, I am thirsty. I am thirsty. These are the words of the Son of God. But Jesus Christ was not only the Son of God, he was also the Son of Man. He was not only divine, but he was also human. And so when he cried out, I am thirsty, here we see the words of Jesus Christ expressing the humanity of the Son of God, that he experienced the same sufferings that we experience, that he knows when we are thirsty, he can understand. When we experience pain, he can understand because he experienced the same things that we experience in our human nature. He cried out, I am thirsty. Oh, how much the Son suffered for us. And when he cried out, I am thirsty, There are those who brought a jar, John chapter 19, verse 29 says, a jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he says, it is finished. And that is the sixth word, my friends. John chapter 19 and verse 30. When he received the sour wine, he says, it is finished. This is the most glorious words in all of history. It is finished. The Greek word, tetelestai. Tetelestai. One word in the Greek, tetelestai. It is finished. It is totally completed. This is the prayer of victory. That through his death, the Lord Jesus Christ has victoriously conquered sin and death and Satan. Through the death of the Son of God, the work of salvation has been completed. It is finished. There is nothing else that ought to be done by Jesus Christ or by us or by anyone else. The Son of God has completed the work of salvation. And he cried out, tetelestai, it is totally completed. There is victory in the cross. There is victory in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, when he says, it is finished, what he's saying here is that it is finished, and the work that is finished has effect upon us today. So it is finished, not in the sense that it is something that was done many, many years ago, but it is finished. It has been finished in the sense that what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross is for our benefit. He has finished that work so that we can be saved, so that our sins are forgiven. It is finished. And then the final word, the seventh word on the cross, Jesus commits his spirit to the Father. It is found in John chapter 23. And verse 46, John 23 and verse 46, Jesus Christ says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Oh, what beautiful words. Now he has finished his work on the cross. Now he has completed the work of salvation. Jesus Christ turns and he prays to the Father and he says, it is finished. It is finished. Oh, beautiful words from our Savior. Sorry, not it is finished, but into thy hands I commit my spirit. And so Jesus Christ gave his life. He could not have died if he did not give himself to the Father. You see, that did not conquer Jesus. Even on the cross, Jesus Christ was in absolute control of himself. Even while he was crucified, Jesus Christ was in absolute control. And so he was the one who commanded his spirit to the Father. He was the one who gave his life. He says that no man can take it from him, but he gave it. And so he says, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. Luke 23 and verse 46. Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last breath on earth. The Son of God committed his life. He committed his spirit to the Father. And this is a prayer of contentment. Oh, what a way for the Son of God to die. He faced death not with doubts, but he faced death with complete contentment. And that is true for every child of God. When death comes, we don't have to be fearful. We can commit our spirit into the hands of God with contentment knowing that we will be with him forever and ever. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, pray to the Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the hands of God speak of God's power. God's power. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, committed his spirit to the Father. May we also follow the Savior. May we follow him and commit our spirit to him. May we take the example of our Savior and continue in prayer to pray for others, even those who persecute us, even those who despise us. Let us continue to pray to the Father for salvation of others. Let us continue to show affection to those around us. Let us continue to realize that God has not forsaken us, because the Son of God was forsaken for us. Let us remember that Jesus Christ knows our suffering, that he too was thirsty. He too experienced the same things that we go through in this life. And let us remember that Jesus Christ has completed the work of salvation when he cried out, "It is finished." And let us to live our lives so that when we come to the end of our days, we can pray, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." What a wonderful Savior we have. Let us continue to love him. Let us continue to honor him and to worship him for his sake. Amen and amen. Thank you.